Amen. Thank you for leading us in worship today. Thanks for being here today. You know, it's spring break and a lot of people are gone, but you're here. Yay. Glad that you're here. Are you glad to be here? Yeah, there's a couple of you that are. That's great. Awesome. I'm glad I'm here. Anybody ever done mountain climbing? I mean, serious mountain climbing. For one thing, these people are absolutely crazy that do this. In order to climb a mountain like this, you have to get a foothold. There's no way you can climb up the mountain just by using your arms and pulling yourself, but you have to have some place where your foot can get a foothold and then push yourself up to find the next foothold and make your way up the mountain. These people that do this, that's how they do it. They find one foothold, and you can see the climber got his foot there at a place where he's able to push up and keep going up that cliff. And that way they can conquer the mountain, one foothold at a time, moving their way up the mountain. I want to suggest to you today that we're going to use that mountain as a picture of us. And we have an enemy, the devil, who wants to find footholds in our lives so that he can conquer us. The fact is, the devil is angry. The devil is angry. Jesus Christ is winning the world to himself at a faster rate than it's ever been done in human history. That's true. More and more people are coming to know Christ every day. Then it's just an amazing number. Well, it makes the devil mad. And he's doing a lot of terrible things. You probably heard this week of 300 of our brothers and sisters in Christ in Ethiopia. Was it Ethiopia? They were murdered. I think it was Ethiopia. Hope I got that number. Maybe it was Nigeria. Was it Nigeria? I can't remember. Nigeria? Okay. 300 of them killed just because they were Christians. Didn't make the news, by the way. The devil is doing terrible things in our world. And what he wants to do is get some way to get into our lives to mess with us, to keep us from doing what God wants us to do, to live the life that he wants to do, us to live. Paul writes about this in the letter to the Ephesians that we're studying, about how that we got to make sure that we don't let the devil get a foothold in our lives. In fact, we're going to do the opposite. We're going to shut the door on the devil. Shut the door on the devil. Remember that song? Anybody remember that song? No, there's a couple people. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 25. Stand as we read God's word this morning. It says, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every kind of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Lord, thank you for your word today. And we pray, Lord, that you'll speak to us through your word. We want to open up our hearts and minds to receive this message that you have for us today. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So we need to make sure we don't give the devil a foothold in our lives. Some of the other versions of the Bible say it this way: do not let the devil give a chance, don't give the devil a chance to exert his influence. Don't give the devil a chance to work. Give no opportunity to the devil. Do not leave room for the devil. Leave no loophole for the devil. When Paul is writing this, he's writing a practical application of the new life that we're called to live. We saw in the verses previous that we're supposed to take off the old life that is characterized by sin and selfishness and put on the new life, which is created to be like righteousness and holiness, like God. So we need to apply that, and that's what Paul is trying to do here. We have to shut the door on the devil, not giving him any footholds in our lives. Because when we do that, we're giving him a chance to attack us. As we put off the old self and put on the new self, the devil can be defeated. He can be banished We can give him no footholds in our lives. You understand the devil has no influence in your life that you don't give him. He has no power over you that you don't give him. He's defeated in the name of Jesus. So we need to shut the door on the devil. In this scripture, Paul gives us several ways we can let the devil have a foothold in our lives. It's not an inclusive list, it's just some of the ways. Foothold of falsehood. Falsehood. He says here in the scripture, we must put off falsehood. Falsehood describes all kinds of deception. It could be lying, could be exaggeration, could be cheating on your tax return. That's going to be due here in a few weeks. It could be embellishing a story, you know, adding details that weren't really there and kind of making it sound better than it really was. Maybe make promises that you don't plan to keep. Some of us have given the devil an opportunity to exert his influence on us because we're given to falsehood, saying things that aren't really true. The reason this is so critical is because our enemy, the devil, he is a liar. You know what Jesus called him? The father of lies. He's a liar. So when we speak something that isn't true, we are moving right into the territory that belongs to the devil. That's who he is. He's a liar. If we lie, then we're doing what he does. We're acting like children of the devil instead of children of God. Falsehood in any form has no place in the life of a follower. We are told to put it off, to lay it aside. That word means literally like change of clothes. Take your clothes off, lay them aside, and put new ones on. Lay that aside, falsehood. Shouldn't have any attempt, any way for the devil to get a foothold in our lives from this, in this area. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We can put this off. We can resist the devil. And he will flee from us. Instead of giving him the foothold of falsehood, we can shut the door by speaking truthfully. Truth must replace falsehood. Our lives should be characterized by what is true. We should not say anything or do anything that's untrue. James 1:26 says, whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. We need to speak what is true. Now, that doesn't mean that you're required to say everything you know. Do you know people that don't have a filter, you know, when they talk? And sometimes they say things that might even be true, but they hurt people. Doesn't mean that you're supposed to just say everything that you know. You need to be careful what you say. You know, I remember when I was in college, there was a guy that came up to me. It was my freshman year of college. A guy came up to me. I don't even remember his name. I don't think I'd even met the guy, but he lived in the same dorm as me. And he came and he confronted me in a hallway and he said, I just want you to know that I forgive you. I went, okay. To this day, I have no idea what I did to him. I have no idea why he needed to forgive me. I don't think I'd ever met the guy, but he wanted to forgive me. It still bothers me to this day. I think, in my mind, he should have just forgiven me and not told me he forgave me. Because in saying he was forgiving me, he kind of messed with me a little bit. Sometimes we can say things that are true, but we shouldn't say them because they're hurtful. We all make sure we speak the truth in love. We can also shut the door by remembering that we are one in Christ. Paul talks about the fact that we are part of one body, united in Christ. We are part of one family, one body, the body of Christ. Romans 12:5 says, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We're a body. Now the human body only works well when it works in truth. If our brain sends false signals to our feet, we're going to stumble and fall. If our nerves tell us that we're warm when we're actually cold, you could freeze to death somewhere. You know, if your eyes send a message that the road up ahead is straight when actually it's a curve, hair turn curve, you could die in an accident. I mean, the body needs to communicate truthfully for it to work. We in the body of Christ need to communicate truthfully for the body to work the way it's supposed to work. Speak the truth in love. Second foothold that Paul writes about is the foothold of anger. Now, we know there's a good anger and a bad anger. Paul says, don't sin. There's a good anger that is righteous and holy. That's the kind of anger God has. You know, read several times in Scripture that where it says God is angry. There's nothing wrong with that kind of anger. It's justified, holy, righteous anger. Jesus said he was angry with the religious leaders when he healed a man in the synagogue on a Sabbath, and they were so upset, and Jesus was angry with them. That's a good kind of anger. But we have to confess, most of us struggle with the other kind of anger, if we struggle with anger, which is the selfish, self-serving kind of anger, not a righteous, holy anger. That kind of anger can be sinful, and it can give the devil a foothold in our lives. When we get angry and remain angry with someone, we give the devil a foothold in our lives. Usually it happens because someone hurts us, or someone lets us down, or our expectations are not met, and we get angry. Anger is like a little spark in our heart that the devil comes in and blows on it and tells us things like, you have every right to be angry. You have every right to be angry. Use this anger. Keep it. Get back at them. And the devil will blow on that spark and add more fuel until it's a raging fire in our hearts that can hurt us and hurt others. When you keep anger in your hearts, it's like giving your enemy ammunition to shoot you with. We're saying, beat up on me. Here I am. Here's the foothold. It's interesting because oftentimes we think when we're angry, we're actually doing something. But we're not. We're not doing something. I love this quote. It says, of the deadly seven sins, anger is possibly the most fun. To lick your wounds, to smack your lips over grievances long past, to roll over your tongue the prospect of bitter confrontation still to come, to savor to the last morsel both the pain you've given and the pain you are going to give back. In many ways, it's a feast fit for a king. The chief drawback is that what you are wolfing down is yourself. The skeleton at the feast is you. Do you understand that anger hurts you? When you're angry with somebody, you're the one that's being hurt, not the other person. The scripture says in Psalms, refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It only leads to evil. Instead of anger, we need to shut the door by forgiveness. Forgiveness. When we forgive others who have hurt us or offended us or ignored us, whatever the situation, we close the door on the devil. We don't let him get a foothold in our lives where he can work. Before you forgive someone, it's like you're chained to them. Everywhere you go, you're dragging them with you. You're angry with them. When you forgive them, you are set free. Do you understand forgiveness really helps you? We forgive because God forgave us, but it really helps us. Forgiveness is the best thing you can do for yourself. Jesus said, when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. Isn't that uncomfortable that Jesus links our forgiveness with us forgiving others? But he does it often in the scripture. I read a book a little while back about a guy that was talking about revival. And he was talking about how that there's been a real lack of revival in America for quite a few years. And the guy was asking the question why. Someone asked him why, and this guy who had written books and studied it and done revival said there's one reason. He said the big reason why there's a lack of revival in America is the lack of forgiveness in our churches. Isn't that interesting? In the body of Christ, people get hurt. Their feelings get hurt. They get upset and they don't forgive. This needs to be a place where forgiveness flows because we will make mistakes. We will hurt each other, not because we mean to, but sometimes it happens, and we need to forgive. Number three is the foothold of stealing. Paul writes, he who has been stealing must steal no longer. That speaks of repentance, a change from stealing to not stealing. We shouldn't be surprised with this one, should we? It's one of the Ten Commandments. Number 8 in the Ten Commandments, you shall not steal. If you steal, you're giving the enemy a foothold in your lives. Did you know that the devil was also called a thief? Not only is he a liar, he's a thief. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy, Jesus said. So if we steal, we're doing what the devil does. We operate as he operates. Stealing can come in so many forms. You might not think, I would never go into a store and steal anything, but do you report all your income on your tax forms? Wouldn't that be stealing? Are you completely honest with, like, business accounts, expense accounts? When you go to the store and buy something and they give you more money back than you're supposed to get, do you keep it? Wouldn't that be stealing? I remember years ago when our kids were little, I went to a store and outside a store, and I used a pop machine and put in the coins and got a Coca-Cola, of course, out. And it gave me my money back. And the kids were little, and they thought I just won the lottery. Hey, Dad, you got a Coke, and you got your money back. All right, yeah. And I said, girls, come with me. And went to the store, went up to the clerk, and gave him the money. And said, here, I bought a pop out here, but it gave me my money back. Here, do I want to pay for the pop? I was trying to teach him a lesson that even in a little thing like that, that's stealing. That's not your money. You're not supposed to get that back. You're buying that pop. Go pay for it. See, the devil's looking for a foothold in our lives, and we not make sure we don't give him a foothold. Even a little tiny thing that you think is inconsequential, it can be a foothold where he begins. And then the next thing that you steal, the next thing, it maybe gets bigger and bigger and grows. Instead of stealing, we should shut the door through honest work, Paul writes. Paul says you shouldn't steal, you should work. Now, the people that Paul wrote to in Ephesus, they were poor in an affluent town. It would be tempting to maybe steal a little bit. He says, don't do it, you work. Hard, honest work is good for you to support yourself. Paul is an example. He was a tent maker. When he went around all these churches around Asia and starting churches, he worked as a tent maker, supported himself. Paul is not writing to people who can't work and tell them to work. He's writing to people who can work and won't work. Stop stealing. Go to work. We also shut the door through giving to others. He says, give so that you can provide for others. Something to share with those in need. Isn't that an interesting transition from stealing from others to giving to others? From selfishness to selflessness. Don't steal, give. Work and give it away. Good way to shut the door on the devil. Proverbs says, a generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others himself will be refreshed. I know a lot of us have discovered that. There's a real blessing in giving. Number 4 on our footholds is unwholesome talk. Paul is pretty clear. He says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Notice it says any. Not keep it to a minimum. Keep it to a little bit, but none. Unwholesome talk. The word unwholesome refers to food or vegetables that is spoiled, rotten, unwholesome. Unwholesome talk should never come out of the mouth of a follower of Jesus. It's inconsistent with the life that God calls us to live. But we are filled with it in our culture, aren't we? You turn on the TV, it's really hard to find a show that doesn't have unwholesome talk. It really is hard. You go into a restaurant and sit down and some knothead behind you begins using foul language and you want to leave, you know. We're surrounded by unwholesome talk everywhere. Could be profanity, could be dirty stories, could be improper jokes, could be gossip. Now, I hate to tell you, I've heard Christians use profanity. I've heard Christians tell dirty stories. I've heard Christians use improper jokes. And I've heard Christians gossip. To do this is harmful to others and also gives the devil a foothold in our lives. A changed heart should lead to a changed tongue, what we say. Now, we live in a world of social media, right? So we're not just talking about what we say with our voice, but what about what you say on media? Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or whatever the other names are. We need to be careful what we say there, don't we, too? Make sure nothing improper, nothing unwholesome comes out in what we post or even things that we share. Instead of using any unwholesome talk, we need to shut the door. And this thing just stopped working. There it is. Shut the door through talk that encourages others. Paul says we need to speak what is helpful in building others up. Unwholesome talk doesn't build anybody up. The reason we use unwholesome talk usually is because we want people's attention. We want people to think that we're cool or something. But we need to talk that encourages other people. That's what we need to do. Encourage other people. Have you ever, and I know you've done this, so don't confess out loud, but you ever spent time with someone and you after you leave them, you just feel like they've taken an emotional vacuum and sucked all the life out of you. And you just go away drained. You go, whoa, I don't know what just happened, but I feel deflated. And then on the other hand, you meet people when you go away and you go, you're encouraged. All right, that was great. I feel good. I'm encouraged. Well, what Paul is saying is be that kind of person that encourages others, not the one that sucks life out of everybody. You don't have to confess at all. It's okay. Be an encourager. Romans 14. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification, to build each other up in the body of Christ. We also shut the door through talk that is beneficial. Paul writes that we should say what may benefit those who listen. As we speak the truth in love, it will be beneficial to others. We need to use the guidelines that James uses in his letter. Be slow to speak and quick to listen. We need to listen first so we know what to say. Speech that is truly beneficial to others is unselfish. We realize it's not about us. It's not about us telling them everything we know. It's what they need that would be beneficial to them. Foothold number 5. We see a mountain. And that mountain, I think, got put in the wrong place. But, oh well, it's a pretty cool mountain. When we, I'll use it since it showed up here, that is El Capitan. Although it looks impossible, mountain climbers climb that. There was a guy recently that I read about that climbed it rope-free all the way to the top. First guy to ever do it. But most people cannot climb that, especially without ropes. There are some parts of that mountain, they say, that it's as smooth as glass. So I want to suggest to you, by us rejecting the devil's attempts to get a foothold in our lives, by being obedient to God and resisting him, that our lives can be like a mountain that's as smooth as glass. He finds no place to get a foothold. No place to get a foothold in our lives. Let's talk about number 5, the foothold of grieving the Holy Spirit. When you look at verse 30, where it says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, whom you were sealed for the day of redemption, it seems almost out of place in the context of the scripture, because Paul is talking about all these examples of footholds, and then he says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. But I think this is what it's really all about, grieving the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is a person, and he can be grieved, he can be hurt. When you have falsehood in your life, the Holy Spirit is grieved. When we get angry and we don't forgive others, the Holy Spirit is grieved. When we steal, the Holy Spirit is grieved. When we have unwholesome talk, the Holy Spirit is grieved. The Holy Spirit grieves when he sees the devil getting footholds in our lives because he knows the devil's plan for us. He's going to lie to us. He's going to deceive us. He's going to choke the life out of us. And if he can, destroy us. That's the devil's plan. So the Holy Spirit grieves when he sees us giving the devil a chance to influence us, a foothold in our lives. So instead of grieving the Holy Spirit, we need to please the Holy Spirit. We can shut the door through listening to the Spirit. Listen to the Spirit. as the Holy, as the devil shouts at us, trying to get a foothold in our lives, we need to listen to the still, small voice of the Holy Spirit, who will guide us in the truth. One of the things that my wife bought me for Christmas that I really love is a noise-canceling headphones. Anybody got those? They are so awesome. They were so good on the trip when we traveled overseas recently to Israel, because you could put those things on and it just killed the airplane noise. So you could sleep or listen to music or watch a movie or whatever you're going to do. But I love those things. And I'm thinking in the spiritual realm, the devil is shouting at us in so many areas. We need to put on the devil-canceling headphones of the Holy Spirit and tune into the Spirit. Listen to the Holy Spirit of God, what he is telling us. He will guide us clearly and in truth. We also shut the door through obedience to the Spirit. Paul lists all these things that he tells us to put off are disobedience to God. They're things you shouldn't do, so put them off. If we obey God, we give the devil no footholds in our lives. No foothold. We can be like that smooth mountain we showed a minute ago, not giving the devil a place where he can get into our lives to influence us. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. We live our lives obedient to the Spirit of God. We shut the door through surrender to the Spirit. In a life that is fully trusted in and fully surrendered to the Holy Spirit, we find the strength to defeat the devil every time. Every time the devil is defeated. Now you need to understand, the devil will not stop. He will not stop his attacks. In fact, probably the closer you get to Christ, the more he's going to attack. But he can be defeated every time. Surrender to the Holy Spirit. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Obey the Holy Spirit. The last foothold that Paul talks about is bitterness. Bitterness. Bitterness is a settled hostility that poisons the whole person. A long-standing resentment, brooding over insults and wrongs. And it's dangerous. Hebrews 12:15 says, "See to it that no one misses the grace of God that causes no bitter root to grow up and cause trouble and defile many." He talks about several other things that bitterness could lead to. Rage, which is an explosion of the feelings that are inside that come out on the outside. Anger, which we've already talked about. A deep smoldering anger deep inside of us. Brawling, where this anger is released in maybe a violent manner. Slander, where you try to defame someone's character from a bitter heart, or malice, you want desire to do evil to other people. Bitterness can do terrible things. It's not hard to see how bitterness is like a spiritual cancer that if we let it will consume us. So we need to shut the door on bitterness, and we shut it through kindness. Kindness. Instead of being filled with bitterness, we should be kind. Now, you might say, "Well, Pastor, I don't feel like being kind," and I'll just say, tough. You don't have to feel like being kind to be kind. Do you know that it says in 1 Corinthians 13, talking about love, it says, "Love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it does not proud, it is not proud." Love is kind. Love is an action. It's something you do. You don't have to feel anything to be kind. Be kind. You can do it. Replace that bitterness by being kind. We also shut the door through compassion. He talks about being compassionate. Compassion is love in action. It's really, really hard to be bitter when you're loving someone at the same time. Replace it with compassion. Love for that person as Christ loved us. Not because they deserve it, but because God loves us and he calls us to love people. And we shut the door through forgiving like God forgives us. I know we already talked about forgiveness, but it was too important not to bring up again. We need to forgive. I have dealt with people who are bitter. It's not fun dealing with people that are bitter. And very often, those people who are bitter will not forgive. It's sad because you know forgiveness is the freedom that they can have if they'll forgive. But so often, bitter people work themselves into a corner and they refuse to forgive. It's almost like they become so comfortable with their bitterness, they don't want to let it go. And they won't forgive. Colossians 3:13 says, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievance you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Do we deserve God's forgiveness? We don't deserve God's forgiveness. So we're not forgiving people because they deserve it. We're forgiving them because God tells us to. Forgive as God forgave you. We need to forgive. So when the devil looks at your life, let's look at a picture of the cliff again. There's a scary cliff. I think that's El Capitan too. When the devil looks at your life, what footholds does he see? I mean, you look at this picture and you say, oh, there's not very many, but you look around, there is several places. There's several footholds there on that cliff. When the devil looks at your life, what are the footholds that he sees that I might be able to get a grasp there, an influence in their life? I know what mine are. I know those places in my life where the devil would like to get in and influence. I know where the footholds are. So I need to be on my guard. And you need to be on your guard because you probably know where your footholds are too, where the devil could possibly get in and try to influence us. When the devil tries to get a foothold in your lives, resist him in the name of Jesus. And you know what he will do? He will slide off that mountain, crash on the bottom. Amen? He can't resist Jesus. Jesus has defeated the devil. He'll slide down to the bottom and crash. Acts 2:24, the great sermon of Pentecost, when Peter preached this sermon, he preached this great sermon about Jesus. I love verse 24 where he said about Jesus, God raised him from the dead, freed him from the agony of death because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. I want to suggest to you today that it is impossible for the devil to keep his hold on you in the name of Jesus. Impossible. It's only possible if you let the devil do it. You can defeat him in the name of Jesus Christ. So let me just go through a little checklist, if I can, as we close, before we pray. Because I just have a hunch there could be some people that struggle with some of this stuff. If everybody was really brutally honest with yourself. How about falsehood? Anybody struggle with that? Anybody have a tendency to just stretch the truth a little bit? Make the story sound a little better than it really was? Not really tell the truth because it would be uncomfortable to tell the truth. So we fudge a little bit on the truth. If you're doing that, you're giving the devil a foothold in your life. What we do often when we go down this pathway, we justify ourselves and say, it's not that big a deal. It's just a little tiny lie. I just stretch the truth a little bit. Everybody does that. Don't do that. If it's a false, it's false. And if it's in your life, you need to confess it to the Lord, receive his forgiveness, and the devil's foothold will be lost in your life. How about anger? I've met a few people that struggle with anger. The devil loves it when we get angry. And when we get angry, we justify ourselves there, don't we? We say, well, they made me angry. No, they didn't. They didn't make you angry. That was your choice. No one makes you angry. It's a response. If you struggle with anger, the wrong kind of anger, you need to deal with that and confess it and not put it aside, not just justify it or rationalize it. Confess it, receive his forgiveness, and forgive anybody else that you need to forgive. Set yourself free. Forgive. How about stealing? Maybe there's no one that really struggles with it, stealing, but could be someone struggles, maybe just little things. But if you do it, you're giving the devil a foothold in your life. You need to call it for what it is, confess it, receive God's forgiveness, and the devil will lose his hold in that area. How about unwholesome talk? This is one that a lot of Christians struggle with because somehow the salvation in their heart hasn't made it to their mouth. And it needs to make it to our mouth. Change the way we talk so we don't talk like the world. We don't try to blend in and use that kind of language or use those kind of stories. But our talk is wholesome and healthy and pleases God. We need to confess it. How about bitterness? Bitterness is an evil prison that you put yourself in. Set yourself free through forgiveness. Don't let the devil have a foothold. And all this goes under the big umbrella of grieving the Holy Spirit of God. So we need to be on our guard to not let the devil get any foothold in our lives. And if he does have a foothold, let it go in the name of Jesus. Confess it, receive his forgiveness, and the devil will be gone. The foothold will be released. And we can serve God in freedom and peace and joy and effectiveness. We're going to sing a song.